Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
On today's wrestling news, Johnny Gargano's post-WWE future is being revealed.
They finally sent Hook.
And Xia Li debuts on SmackDown.
And the best WWE tag team has been crowned officially.
Yeah, it has. Are you ready? Are you ready for the news time? Yes, my name is Phil Chambers, and I'm joined by Gareth Morgan and Salty Sea Dog to talk all things wrestling news. But before we get into it, make sure you like the channel, like the video, comment down below what you think of all today's news stories. Subscribe to the channel, and links to each news story is in the description with the timestamps. Click them and off you go. But first up, Johnny Gargano, he's obviously a free agent now from WWE, and he started his little life after WWE sort of comeback. Not really a comeback, just change. He's launched his Pro Wrestling Tees store. He's got all of his old t-shirts up there, of which I own way too many of them. And he's got a bunch of new designs on there as well, all kind of based off the Johnny Wrestling thing that he was doing back on the indies just before he joined with WWE and right at the very beginning of NXT, like that. The sort of pure, proper Johnny Gargano character in my eyes. Anyway, that's what Johnny Gargano is and always should be, that kind of underdog Johnny Wrestling kind of guy. So looks like that's the kind of character direction he might be heading wherever it is that he ends up wrestling. He's also launched a brand new Twitch channel to do some Twitch streaming down there, which is obviously something that was a bit of a no-go down in WWE. So he's starting lining up his future plans. There's nothing, no word yet as to where he might end up wrestling wise, but I assume we're going to find out very soon because he's an incredibly talented wrestler and he would be an asset to any promotion out there.
And in the immortal words of Adam Wilborn, it's all a work, Phil. It's all a work. Right, he's coming back next week. He's going to beat up Grayson Waller. No, I put that in the NXT article that I wrote about this week. I was very suspicious about whether Johnny was going to leave. And then I saw all the stuff after NXT where he was very upset and they were all clapping him off and the penny dropped a little bit. I'm either being brilliantly worked or think Johnny's done. Yeah, and if he is, then fair play to him. It looks like he's definitely got all of his ducks in a row. Like, and he's just forging a brand new path, and he's got these things all relaunched, and it'll be great. I think he'll have all the fun in the world, and it's just nice seeing him connect with that independent fan base again. And, you know, like you've already said, wherever he ends up next, he's going to be a hell of a commodity. So bring back Johnny Wrestling, the proper Johnny Wrestling.
Bet on yourself. That's what I say. Bet on yourself.
Exactly, because you can't lose unless you lose. So AEW is a place where Johnny could end up, potentially. We'd never know with this whole crazy wrestling landscape. But one guy who made his big old debut last night, and that is official, that did happen, was one Hook. And so much stuff went down with this, even before the actual match happened. Like, AEW sent out a tweet with Hook in, like, the Hook. They'd done, like, the Hook film and then put Hook as, like, the leading guy of Hook. It was just a brilliant Hook collaboration. Go and check it out on Twitter. It was really cool. But then the match itself, it was brilliant. He was so smooth. He was slick. He had charisma. His presence in general was outstanding for a guy who'd never actually had a match in the square circle in AEW. It was frightening to see. And Taz was getting overcome with joy and emotion on commentary. And he was just putting over everything he did like he was an absolute monster. And he did look like a monster, so it's fair enough. But everyone went on Twitter before the match, after the match, and was just celebrating Hook, like fans and wrestlers alike. You had CM Punk saying, "Me leaving Earth once Hook debuts, hashtag send Hook," and it had like a penguin with a little briefcase, like, "See you later." And everyone else, like, you had the likes of Anthony Ogogo, MJF, Shawn Spears, just name a couple of them, just all saluting him and just sending him all the best. And then after this, the real icing on top of this magnificent cake was the fact that Tony Khan officially confirmed after the match that he is All Elite. We're going to get more Hook, and I, for one, just want to see more Taz missions and that swishy hair in the wind.
Oh, I want his hair so much.
Yeah, me too, Phil.
I assume you're in the same boat. Yeah, this was great. Really, really good fun. He just absolutely destroyed Fuego del Sol. Looked incredible doing it. The sort of just cocky sort of charisma that he's got, the way, like, just after the match, he just kind of was like, yep, done with that. Off I go. Straight back out, like, wandering out like it was absolutely nothing. Absolutely loved it. Can't wait to see more of Hook. I reckon he's going to beat Sammy Guevara for the TNT Championship. That's what I reckon anyway. Or at least he'd want him to now, because you should just give him everything. He's absolutely great. It kind of reminds me, in a very different style, to like that first match of Dominic Mysterio in WWE, where you're like, this guy's been doing this for ages already, but it's only like the first sort of match on this big scale. And they both just absolutely smashed it out of the park, but in very, very different ways.
Yeah,
because of very different character to Dominic. But yeah, this is great. Can't wait to see more of Hook. I don't know what else to add. It's great. Go watch it.
Not much more to add, man. He looked like a badass.
Indeed. But speaking of debuts, Xia Li debuted over on SmackDown. They've been hyping her up for quite a while with the little sort of cartoony vignettes, this packaging in her as like a savior kind of character. And she came out. Well, basically, it was the match between Sonya Deville and Naomi. They were both in the ring, and then Sonya Deville was like, oh, we've got the special guest enforcer, and it's Natalya on the outside, and we've got a special guest timekeeper, and it's Sonya Deville. So obviously, not Sonya Deville, Shayna Baszler. So she was obviously stacking the cards against Naomi, and obviously it didn't go very well, and they ended up being 3-1, and just as they were about to attack Naomi, Xia Li's music hit, and she comes out, and it's like a big cartoony background on the Titantron. She comes out and she fires lightning and sparks out of her fists of fury. It's incredible.
I mean,
100%. Go watch it. They use the, like, the augmented reality stuff that they've been doing loads of, and she just there doing moves and like swishy moves with her hands, and then lightning is coming out. It's incredible.
If you guys could see the unfiltered joy that Phil Chambers sent my way this morning when he saw this video for the first time, it brought a tear to my eye. Oh, there we go. There's a man who's enjoying his Saturday morning. It was crazy. It was bananas.
Indeed. We've got Hook and Xia Li entertaining everyone in completely different ways. I love it.
And was that intentional when you said that that Sonya Deville was stacking the cards against Naomi because she had the Queen of Hearts and the Queen of Spades?
Hey, there you go.
She had them both outside, so that was very cool. Yeah, I like this. I like Xia Li in NXT. I thought she was such a badass in general, and her moveset, she just throws out all the kicks, and she's just really violent and aggressive. I think given the right direction, I'm not sure if the whole Tian Sha thing was the right direction in NXT, because it's all the supernatural stuff that doesn't tend to really go down that well, whereas on the main roster, it seems like they're leaning more into the fantasy element of it and shooting lightning out of her hands, and that's great. Yeah, it's going to be geared more towards probably the kids and everything else, like all the comic books stuff, but why not? It's a nice niche for her to fulfill, and she'll just kick everyone's faces in. She's like the Bryan Danielson of the women's division in WWE. There you go. Just kept that as your headline. And speaking of SmackDown, we had some other crazy stuff go down, Phil, because not only did you have Brock Lesnar and Sami Zayn just kicking off what seems to be the greatest odd couple in WWE history. Quote me on that, because it was incredible. We also had, I don't know how to describe this. We had suddenly Randy Orton and Riddle popped up on SmackDown.
The wildcard rules back.
That's it.
Wildcard, bitches.
That's it. Wildcard. Just drop them in there. And that happened. And then everyone on commentary just started putting over the fact that this triple threat match we were going to have later on in the night, which is going to be the Usos taking on the New Day, taking on RK-Bro, was to decide who the best team was in WWE. Just out of nowhere, because Roman Reigns decided to take a night off and he wanted to start the card, whereas nobody else would probably tune in to watch the show. So they were like, okay, that's what we're going to do. And in the end, neither of the champions won the match. It was the New Day, because WWE logic, that's it. That's how you make your champions look strong. The New Day won the match, and now it seems as though they are probably going to be next in line to go up against the Usos at Day One. I don't know if that's officially been confirmed yet, but that is something that's probably going to be going down. And
he hinted it enough during the commentary.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where it felt like a bit of a glorified house show match, which is fine sometimes. That's just what you need. But it was just very odd. I was sat there thinking, these two championship owning sides have just fallen to the challenger side very, very cleanly, that there was no real screwiness going on there. And I don't really know what the grand plan was with this. It just felt like a throwaway moment, and I've never known WWE to have that as something to fight over, the honor of being the best tag team in WWE. But there you go, for the first time ever, it happened
on a whim, decided it, I guess. I don't know. The match was fun enough, obviously. Yeah. Look at who's involved. The New Day pinned the Usos as well, so RK-Bro haven't lost anything, really. Although, it's, I don't know. Like, you've got two champions in a who's the best ever match, and then you put in the New Day, which I'm not saying they're not a really good tag team. They're amazing, but it's just very odd.
And we do need to note that Xavier Woods has perhaps the greatest crown in all of crown history.
I was just about to bring that up, because it is full-on sort of anime styling with a gigantic X on the front for Xavier, obviously. It's really good.
I loved it. That was another person. SmackDown was an odd show, because it had a lot of little highlights, but nothing really noteworthy. It was a strange one.
Yeah. But speaking of strange ones, let's move on to your Twitter questions. The first one comes from Chris Balding, who says, morning awesome dudes, do you think that the feud between the Best Friends and the Elite will lead to a match between Kenny Omega and Okada, with Chaos now backing up the Best Friends?
Oh, bloody hope so. And I think everyone else does, because if that match goes down on AEW television, it could and probably will and probably should win Match of the Year, because these two just built to wrestle each other, and it's been so long now since we've seen them fight again, and they're at such different points in their career now since the last time they wrestled. So I think that would be incredible. It'd be mouthwatering, and if it helps put everyone else over in both groups and brings all them up to the level of that match, which it tends to kind of just have anyway because they're two incredible performers, then cool, everybody wins.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's only a matter of time until you see Okada in AEW. Mm-hmm. I've got so many dream matches for Okada with AEW, but Kenny Omega is one of them, to rerun that and go back to it. And now with, the Best Friends intertwining, it seems logical. However, Kenny Omega's got to get his health right before anything like that happens, with the reports of what it was like of wrestling with vertigo and things. Let's get healthy first and then do it, because then you can do it properly.
And let's be honest, if they can't do the Omega match straight away because he's trying to get his health sorted, you could always just do Hook against Okada, because there you go, there's your money match, there's your main event for the next revolution right there.
Sorted.
Imagine.
Moving on to Aditya Paul, who says, would you rather take a jackhammer from present day Goldberg, Wardlow's finisher, or a package pile driver from Kevin Steen through two ladders?
What's your problem? Why would you wish any of those things on anyone? That's... Just because of the added pain and just horribleness that had come through going through... What was it, going through a ladder with the package pile driver?
Two ladders.
That one. Because package pile driver looks gnarly enough, but going through two ladders, not for me.
So which one would you rather take?
I thought, which one would you least rather? Oh, right.
No, which one would you rather take?
Oh, probably Wardlow's F10 thing. Because that looks like a bit of a, I don't know, it looks surprisingly fun. And he says, famous last words, but it looks like you go for a nice spin. It's great.
Fair. I'm not going to pick the F10 because I'm a very small person. And if you threw me, I don't even think I'd ever come back down again.
That's it.
I think I'm maybe the only person that present day Goldberg could jackhammer properly because I'm so light. But I'm actually going to go the other way, and because Kevin Steen just seems like such a really nice guy, I think he'd take most of the package pile driver through the ladder spot and kind of just soften my landing on my way down. So I'm going to go with that one.
I mean, it depends if you're coming up against babyface Steen or heel Steen, to be honest, doesn't it? It could be some serious trouble.
And the last question of the day comes from Sam, who says, what is your favourite finisher? Simple.
Simple. I think, strangely enough, even though I've just spoken about the F10, I think the F5 is mine. Like, that was just one of those things. I used to always play SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain, and when you had the two different variations of the F5, I loved them both equally. You had the one where, like, Brock just literally picked someone up, threw him on the top of his shoulders and, like, span him, and they flew off like an F10. And then you had the version where he's just a bit neater, and he just kind of, like, places them next to him, like, just kind of files them to his side. So I like them both. They're great. F5 for me, all the way through.
Mine is the Rikishi driver, just because I absolutely love it, the way he just held people up and it was like, yeah, and then slammed them down. It looked incredibly dangerous, but also incredibly spectacular at the same time. I loved it.
You made me think of something. I also really enjoy Bron Breakker's Gorilla Press power slam thing. I'm just, that brings me so much joy. So that's my little honorable mention.
Fair. And that is the wrestling news for today. Thank you very much for joining us. If you want, you can follow us over on Twitter. You can follow me at PhilMyChambers, and you can follow Gareth
at GMorgan04.
And you can follow all of us at WhatCultureWWE. Ups and downs for Rampage and SmackDown is coming later on today, so make sure you check those out. But most importantly, have yourselves a bloody good day.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.